The orphan mindset is the people that feel like they don't have a right for anything. That all their rights were taken. You know, that they don't have a place to where they feel valued and loved. And even up here on top of this little mountain, I feel like God's going to send you some orphan-minded people that you're going to love. Just like the one thing I loved about the Salvation Army is they have a heart to love. And they have a heart to love those that nobody else wants to love. And a lot of people don't realize that they're a church and that they're still a church, you know. And I grew up in that church. I grew up, you know, playing a trumpet, and I grew up in a band and all of those kind of things. And I'll just never forget my roots and my foundation. And you know, we shouldn't. We should tell these things to our children. And the reason we should tell them to our children is to give them hope for their future. You know, and that's kind of what we talked about this weekend, is how do we step into a heart of sonship out of an orphan mindset. And if you weren't here this weekend, why weren't you? No. If you weren't here this weekend, then I'm going to highly suggest that you get the CDs and listen to them, because I believe with all my heart that when we as a church, when we personally get a hold of the sonship message and understand our inheritance, we will step in it. It'll break agreement with lies and things that have led you all your life. Do you want to be led by the truth, or do you want to be led by your reality? You know, think about that for a minute. I don't want reality to lead me. I want the truth of His Word to lead me. And too often we allow pain to dictate our paths in life. And Father said, you know what? No. But see, I grew up somewhat. I didn't get all this from Salvation Army now. I'm not saying anything there, but I'm talking about I grew up in a home to where we believed that if you had, you know, your food, shelter, and all that, that life was good and that was just enough. You know, but then I got up and grew up, and I heard about this prosperity message, and I thought, ooh, I like that message better than the poverty one. You know, doesn't it just sound better? And but then the group that I was in, they got a hold of this message of prosperity and consumed it upon their lust. And then they lost that. You know, so where is God? Where's the reality and the truth of our loving Father? Because see, when we get our image of Father right, then we can throw away our list of rules and all of our performance and understand that even when you don't get it right, you're still a child of God. Amen. You're still an heir to the throne. You know, and I'm just so tired of trying to figure all this out. Who's right? Who's wrong? You know, how do we pray? Well, if I pray that way, what's going to happen over here? Or if I don't see an answer right away, then how come I didn't see an answer? And it all comes back down to a performance-driven gospel.
Amen.
And I don't want to be driven by performance anymore. I want to be driven by love. I want to be driven by the fact that my Father is so big and I'm safe. Because everybody's looking for this safe place. But you know what I'm also discovering? You know, it's taken me years. I've dealt with a lot. I'm in process. I've dealt a lot with my ungodly beliefs. So it's so easy for me to just run up to just encounter my Father and know that He really is my Father, and to know that He really is good, and the pain of my past is not going to dictate my future. But I also don't want to use Him to meet every need I have. And then he comes up with these scriptures, you know, that just will blow you away. But sometimes they're not applied to our life. And if you don't apply the Word of God to your life, you can name it, claim it all day long, and it will not work. But when you uproot, tear down, overthrow, and destroy the lies that you have believed in, When you recognize lies that hinder you from living what the gospel says about who He is, then the next part of the scripture happens. Then we can build and plant. And see, I'm in this season. You know, there's springtime harvest. You know, there's seasons of all life. I'm in a season of harvest right now. And I'm in a season of rest. Because I've gone through and I've dug up my poverty vows and I've broken agreement with them. You know, and I've dug up my selfishness and all this behavior. I've forgiven those who have wounded me. So I'm in a season where I planted all these seeds and I'm getting a harvest now. So if you're not where I'm at, don't judge your walk by me. You know, don't judge your walk by me. Find out where you are. You know, find out if it's time for you to sow some seeds. All the things they talked about today would be great to sow seeds into. Or personal seeds or whatever. And see, that's where we want to go today. I want to talk to you about prosperity. Because you see, that used to be the message of the hour. And Kenny Copeland's a friend of ours. But I tell you what, there was a day in my life to where I would have loved to have sat down with Kenny in a room and said, everything you preach is a lie because it's not working in my life. You know, and knowing good and well that it had to be on my end. Knowing that prosperity message is real, but we've gotten it out of whack if it doesn't play out the way we think it ought to play out. So I realize the prosperity message works. The faith message works. All these things work when they're led by the Spirit of the living God for where you are in your season of life right then. And so don't judge your walk by the person next to you. Judge it by what? Your relationship with the Father. So today I want to talk to you about a kingdom principle. You know, all this weekend I talked to you about the orphan mindset versus sonship. And I talked to you a little bit about law and breaking agreement with law. But there are certain things in the Bible that are kingdom principles. And whether you believe them or not, they're going to work. And if you don't believe them, then guess what? They're going to be left out of your life. But today I want to talk to you about one of the kingdom principles and that I feel like my loving Father, who's not impoverished, wants to talk to me about. Because you see, He's put stuff into my hands. Do you know why the prosperity gospel doesn't work for some people? It goes back to the story of the talents. See, if you'll sit and read and study your Bible, you'll figure all this out. Prosperity message doesn't work for some people because you haven't been faithful with the one thing that's in your hand. You know, the story of the talents, there was the guy that was given 5 talents. And guess what? He took those talents and he invested those talents in the kingdom. In other words, he put it where God told him to do it. Sometimes God will let you put it right smack dab back into your family. You know, your church family, whatever. Be led of the Lord. You know, I believe your tithes go to your local church. But I'm not one of those that believe that your offerings come back to your local church unless God tells you to. You know, because what if my brother over here has a need? And I have, $10 offering, extra money. You know, I'm probably going to give it to my church unless God specifically says, no, go give it to this person over here. And as we sow, you're going to reap a harvest. That's another kingdom principle. The law of sowing and reaping. So this whole idea of prosperity is balanced back out through the story of the talents. The guy with the 5 talents invested them, and he got 5 more. He came. See, we present our life to God. We present what God's put in our hands back to Him. And the guy that had the 5 talents, he came back and he came back to the master. See, this is the allegory. He came back to the master and he said, look at what I got to do with these 5 things you gave me. And what happened? He got 5 more. He got put in charge of 5 more. The guy with the 3 things, what happened? He got put in charge of 3 more. But how about the guy with the 1? He got in trouble by the master. Why? Because he operated in fear. He operated in fear. And he brought the talent back to the Lord. And he said, here you go. I kept this safe for you. And what happened? The master was angry. And in Matthew, it tells us, in the Jack Hayford Study Bible, it tells us that the master... Now, I'm not saying that God never gets angry at you, but he won't throw you away whenever he's grieved or whatever, he has emotions. But Father God went back to the guy with the one, or the master went back to the guy with the one, and he told him, he goes, it's criminal to live cautiously. And that word cautious there means fear. When we live in fear, that's a cautious lifestyle, and the Bible calls us a thief. Whoa, you're being mama again. You're starting to meddle a little bit. I know, but again, John didn't tell me to preach this message. I just told him, I said, John, this message has come back around to me, and it's working in my life, and I'd like to share it, you know, one of two with your congregation. He said, go for it. Because, you know, there's a good reason why the Bible says where your heart is or where your treasure is. Because when we start talking about our pocketbooks, you know, when we start talking about our pocketbooks, that's a touchy subject, isn't it? So today, I don't want to talk to you about giving to a project in this church. I want to talk to you about how the Father wants to bless you. I want to talk to you about increase. How many people would love to see increase this year? Oh, thing. Does this need to be tightened somehow, or is it tightened? I think it's tightening all it's going to tighten. Okay, well, it's all right. I'll just hold on to it. It's just, this computer is my increase. My team and family just gave me this brand new computer, Apple computer. God, I love it. And so, I'm okay. It'll be all right. I'll just make sure I don't lean on my pulpit. All right, so I want to talk to you today about increase. What prevents increase from happening? If we could get that video, did I mention it? What prevents increase from happening in your life? For me, it was a lack of faith. Now, those of you who were here this weekend, you saw the video on faith. But I wanted to show it again for those of you who weren't here this weekend. Because the Bible talks about faith. Faith is pretty much believing in what's not there as though it were. That's not naming and claiming it. That's positioning ourselves for trust with what we have. So anyway, I want you to, this is the best description of faith I know. So cute. See, what did that lady do? She got all those people to believe in what wasn't there as though it was. And the one lady even goes, I believe. I believe. You see, some of us need to step back into a season of building our faith. And the only way I know I can build my faith is when I uproot, tear down, overthrow, and destroy my lack of trust, my fear of my pocketbook. Because I believe with all my heart that Father God wants to bless his kids. So why are so many of us not living in the blessings? Again, you know, we talked about the royal family this weekend. Prince Charles wakes up every morning knowing who he is. He doesn't have to worry about whether or not the butler's going to be there to bring his food to him. Now, I'm not saying that we're all going to live like Prince Charles, but I'd volunteer. You know, I'd volunteer to go and live in the palace for a little while. But then I realized, you know, we each have our own palaces that we live in. And it's all, if there's not fruit in your life, then what's going on? Because Father God took, I want to talk to you today about the prayer of Jabez. I usually say Jezebel, not Jezebel, the prayer of Jabez. I want to talk to you about this one person, this average Joe that decided, you know what, I'm going to change my environment. Because you see, his mother named him Jabez. Jabez means pain. It means, what mother in her right mind would name her kid pain? What was she thinking? Well, she probably was in pain. She was in pain. But here's the deal. Jabez, just an average person. You only hear about him in this one little area of the Bible. An average person that impacted his life, his family, and the world around him for centuries to come. Because now, a lot of people, thanks to, was it Bruce or David? Bruce Wilkerson. Thanks to him that he put this little prayer out there for the world to see. And it works. I use this prayer in my life, and I'll share with you the testimonies. The prayer comes from 1 Chronicles 4:10. And basically, the prayer is this. Lord, would you bless me? And would you enlarge my territory? And would you take your hand, and would you allow your hand to be with me? And would you keep me from the evil one? So, The goal for today is to increase your personal answers to prayer. Anybody in here got one or two prayers you need answered? Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you, remember I told you this weekend that the Christian life just isn't que sera, sera. We have to work and we have to labor in the kingdom. And some things are laborious. And did I say that word right? Laborious. Right, I did say it. Yeah, I just found out not too long ago that flute players are flautists. The English language. Y'all knew that? They're not flute players. They're not fluties. Whatever, they're flautists. I never had either. But anyway, I get off on these little rabbit trails, but that's okay. We bring it back. So anyway, the goal is to, how do we increase your personal answers to prayer? So I want to encourage you, along with your Bible and your dictionary, to get this one book. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. And it's just a little tiny book, and I teach out of this book all the time. Why? Because I've taken this principle, and I've applied it to my life, and I've seen increase, especially when I sow in good projects. Now, again, they didn't ask me to tell you to do extra. I didn't even know they had the projects going on, to be honest with you. But I can't believe how when we respond and give our pocketbooks to the Lord, I cannot believe the increase that comes. Am I doing it with the wrong motive? Sometimes, yes. But you know, my God is so big in His grace and in His mercy. He'll deal with my motives of why I give if I'll just release my purse strings to Him. Now, see, we don't want to hear this message in church. But if it works, amen. What about if your bank account grows? What about if you get this idea that goes to the whole world? How about Bill Gates? How about Mark Zuckerberg? Y'all know who he was? The guy that invented Facebook? You know, Bill Gates, the guy that invented PC, he's still the richest man in the world. From a little tiny thing that the whole world uses. You know, Steve Jobs, which I like him better because I like Apple. What about if God gives you that idea? Or if you don't want to be that rich, what about if God increases you at work? What about if God brings favor to you in your life in some area? It can happen, I promise you, when we live these principles in the kingdom. It's a principle, whether you like it or not, it will not change. So I want to start with number. We want to run through these four principles real quick so we can go out and get some fried chicken or some Mexican, wherever we're going, and coffee. We're going to get coffee, so I'm excited about the coffee, because on the way home. All right, so let's look at the first one, and it's Grandma. Number one, oh, Lord, bless me. You know, we're either on one side or the other of this. We're either in the fact that, oh, Father God, bless me, and we just want blessings, or we're afraid. Some spirit of religion told us that you shouldn't bless yourself. You should bless your brother. But there's something wrong with you if you won't bless. You're selfish. You know, I've been told that in church. I got over it. Thank God I've gotten over that. And every morning I pray, bless me, O Lord. And the reason I pray, bless me, O Lord, indeed, because sometimes God's blessings are right there in front of us. And we're the ones that don't apply them. Yeah. See, the blessings are there. Whether you think it's selfish to pray for them or not, guess what? Your daddy. You know, it's just like he wants you to wake up not worrying about whether you're going to have food on your table or whether you're going to have extra. I don't want just food on my table. That's a poverty spirit. I want more to give. Amen. I want more to apply, too. Yes. So, bless me. Who in here knows who Connor O'Reilly is? Oh, y'all don't know who old Connor is? Neither did I, because Connor was a penniless Irishman whose wealthy relatives brought him a ticket on a ship to America in the late 1800s. And he wanted to just better himself. So he wanted to come to America, but he didn't have any money. But his relatives did, and so they bought him a ticket on this big ship, and they sent him to America. And on his way to America, he was so excited about coming to America, and he had 3 weeks to cross the ocean. But he was so excited, but he didn't know how he was going to eat. So he would wait every day for the bakery to close, and he would buy the stale bread at the end of the day because they would sell it to him for just pennies. And he collected enough bread that he felt like would get him across the ocean, but he only had just enough for him. See that poverty mentality? Just enough to get by. So every day, right at dusk, he would run to his room, and he would eat his loaf of bread for the day. You know, little tiny bakery loaves of bread. And he would go to his room and do it because he didn't want to give any to you because he had just enough. He had it all planned out, just enough for each day. And so on the last day of the cruise, right before they embarked in America, this guy on the ship had become friends with him. And he told him, he goes, "Let's go eat at the captain's table tonight." And Connor said, "I can't go eat at the captain's table. I don't have enough money. I would love to go and be with you, but I just don't have enough money." And the guy looked at him and goes, "What are you talking about?" And Connor goes, "I don't have any extra money. I only have enough. You know, I only brought enough for just a loaf of bread a day." And the guy just looked at him and he goes, "Did you not know that your ticket brought you 3 meals a day?" Not necessarily. I didn't hear it like that. But still, that night he could go to the captain's table. But see, the blessing sometimes is already there. The blessing has already been paid for. His name was Jesus. And so your blessing is already there. And sometimes we just don't know how to incorporate it into our life. So I want everybody to stand to your feet. We're going to pray after each one of these points. And I want everybody just to pray this prayer with me. And I want you to say, "Father, thank you.
Father, thank you.
That you're my daddy.
That you're my daddy.
And that you have a perfect plan.
And that you have a perfect plan.
Father, I ask you to forgive me. For all the times I don't understand your plan. Forgive me for lack of trust. And so today, Father, in the name of Christ, I ask you to bless me. Indeed. In Jesus' name." All right, let's look at point two. You know, here's the deal, though. Connor O'Reilly, when he discovered that, can you imagine how he felt in that moment? For somebody to tell, "You mean I had 3 weeks, I could have been enjoying 3 meals a day?" Yeah. Can you imagine? He could have either condemned himself and felt shame. But you see, it's not God's will for you to feel shame. If you've sinned, if you don't trust, if you've done whatever, shame off you. Because Father doesn't want to shame his kids. We just repent and we move on. Or he could have chose to realize the truth of what the passenger was saying. And at the moment of truth, we move forward, forgetting the things. Now, I'm not saying that we forget inner healing. I am all for inner healing. So I'm not one of those that are on that bandwagon. But forgetting the things back here, you know, and I move forward. Okay, I messed it up here, but today I choose to believe that my Father has more than enough than food, clothes, and shelter. Yes. And I'm going to give him permission to show me any hindrances, anything I need to uproot, tear down, overthrow, destroy. And those are simply ungodly beliefs. Yeah, right. You know, ungodly beliefs or hindrances or judgments to where you've either judged him or you've judged somebody else. And you got a blockage. When we remove those blockages, guess what? That line from heaven, "Thy kingdom come." Yeah. You know, do we understand what the kingdom is? Everything that he has is the kingdom. And he says, "Thy kingdom come on this earth in this lifetime." Amen. See, we think we're looking for some great afterlife. Well, that's going to be great too. But right now we can have these things too. And you see, I let the enemy fool me into believing what religion taught me, and that is selfish to ask Father God to bless you. It's not. And that's why I want you guys to pray after each thing. Because here's the deal. If Father God wants to bless me with a lottery, let's just say that. But, oh, someone will hit a religious spirit in here in just a minute, but that's all right. You know, first thing I'm going to do is go buy a lottery ticket. But the second thing I'm going to do, and I'm not saying do that if you don't have food on your table. But he knows my heart. That's why the word, that's why there's so much attention given to that whole idea where your treasures are. That's where your heart is. And you know where my heart is? Oh my gosh. If I think the lottery's up to like 320 million. Yes, I do keep count. It's up to the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We can go through this all day long. But anyway, you do what your conscience tells you. I'm not going to spend $1,000 on lottery tickets, but I buy one ticket every week whenever it gets over $250 million. I'm just going to take the chance. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. But anyway, God knows my heart. I wouldn't take that $320 million and consume it above my flesh. You know what I would do with it? Because I dreamt one time that I won the lottery. And you know what I did in my dream? I fell on my face and I said, God, I don't have the ability or the wisdom to get this where you want it to go. You better come in to give it to somebody else. And probably I would find a wiser person than me. But I'd take a million or two out for myself. Nothing wrong with that. Servants worthy of their hire. But you see what I'm saying? It's all about the heart. And when we get into this whole thing, when we deal with our orphan mindset and we realize that daddy's not out to get you, he doesn't. His hand's not too short. But it has been in my life. Because, you see, I had a judgment. Because my father was a truck driver. We were a pretty wealthy people because my daddy owned his own truck. But then he had a bad wreck. The truck was gone. He had to go and just work in a mill. And he said, we went from being middle class to impoverished. And it was during those seasons my formative years were being developed. And without realizing it, I judged him as my father, my supplier, for all giving me just enough to get by. How do you think my life has been in the kingdom? Until one day I started praying Psalms 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and see if there's any hurtful thing in me. And I caught that ungodly belief. And when I caught that thing, I brought it right to the throne room, to the cross. And I said, Jesus, today I break agreement. Today I break agreement with the expectation that my father, because you see how we see this guy many times correlates to how we see this dude. And when I broke agreement, when I broke judgment, all my judgments against my earthly dad, guess what? Heaven began to flow freely in my life. Amen. People give me, you know what, even on the way here, whether it's $20 or $320 million. When people, you know, give, everywhere I go, somebody puts something in my hand. Or something happens. You know, Katie walked up to me and she says, somebody gave us this envelope. There was $40 in the envelope and said, go and buy you coffee. See, we're going to go spend our $40 in your coffee shop. But wasn't that nice? So it's 40 bucks. Whoever you were, thank you, by the way. But I call that increase. It was $40 I didn't have before I came here. And it was to be spent. You know what the condition, the criteria was on it? You have to spend it on you. So what did I do with that $40? Not yet. I'm going to go to the coffee shop after thing. But I split it with Katie. Because I asked the Lord as soon as it was handed to me, okay, what do I do with this? Well, look around. Who is walking beside you this weekend? Now, if I win the lottery ticket, I'm not going to split it even, 50-50, okay? I will give you a couple million. Okay, I'll hire you, that's for sure. My new personal assistant. But you see, I'm very sensitive to what Father tells me to do with the blessings that come into my life. Not too long ago, the Lord told me, and I don't recommend this, but just for a season, somebody came into my life. Because what is true religion? To feed the hungry, to visit the widows, and to take care of the orphans, and to help the poor. So a couple weeks ago, this family came into my life, and they needed help. And I honestly, at that time, didn't have the money to help them. Now, don't you ever do this. But I was in between churches. And because I was in between churches, I felt like the Lord said, take your tithe and feed the poor. Now, if you're in a local church, you give your tithe to the local church. But if you're ever in between churches or whatever, I gave that money to the poor. And then the Lord said, I want you to go and draw this much money out of your savings account because they really need this. They were hurting so bad. So I did. I have a 501K, you know, a little bit of money in that that you have to spend by the time you're a certain age. And so I went and drew some of it out. You know, after I did that and I got help to get this person out of their poverty at the moment, I went back a week later and I looked at that account. That $5,000 was back in that account. I didn't put it in there. I didn't put any more money. I have to draw it out. I can't put any more money in there. But what I have in there, what it's invested in, can grow. And so I was absolutely astonished that money, in a week's time, when you're obedient, when Father puts something in your hands and you're obedient with it, let me tell you, whether you like it or not, you're going to be blessed because it's law. It is law. So, I mean, I love it. It comes down to our belief structure. Asking for God's blessing means to ask for supernatural favor. And there's nothing wrong with it. And the next religious person that tells me that I'm being selfish or whatever, I'm going to throat punch them. I really and truly am. Because they're robbing me of blessings. And the religious mindset will rob you of blessings. And it'll hinder stuff. Don't fall into that. Romans 8, 16 and 17 tells you what your inheritance, I mean, tells you all about what to believe. And it says this, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that you're the children of God. All right, if you're a child of God, then you're an heir of God. It gets better than that. You're an heir, joint means co-equal with Jesus Christ. Dang. We got to get this gospel down. Then it goes on to say, this resurrection life that you've received from God, we talked to you guys about that, it's not a timid, grave-tending life. So many of us don't even want to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. Please don't hear that as condemning. We're just so fed up with Christendom. And the Lord's saying, hey, listen, your life, everybody go, my life. And your life
is not timid.
It's not just barely getting by. It's not grave tending. Oh, God, take me home now if I got to live a boring life. But it's a life filled with adventure. To where this is a scripture I'm quoting. It's out of the Message paraphrase. To where we pray to God and say, what's next, Papa? See, some people don't like to call him Papa. And if you don't like God, if you can't see him as a father, I want to suggest to you, you've got father issues. And there's help. Get our book out there, Unbound, Breaking Free of Life's Entanglements. It looks like this. And it's all about strongholds and ungodly beliefs. I don't know why. I don't know that you have any, but I'm going to give that to you. There you go. All right, so it goes on to say, and we know what we're going to get. You know what you're going to get? See, the religious mindset wants to let you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get? An unbelievable inheritance. Hot dog. And you don't have to wait on your mom and dad to die to get it.
Thank God.
No. We kind of like your mom and dad, don't we? Make sure they get a copy of this. That was your daughter, John and Mary Ann. You're going to get an unbelievable inheritance. Why? Because God cares right down to the last detail, James 5:11. See, I love applicable scriptures. Scriptures that you can take to the bank. Because they really are law. But they're not beat yourself in the head law. They're just pathways to life. So, I want everybody to, you can stay seated, but pray this with me. Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank you.
That you care right down to the last detail. Father, I have this one need right now. I want all of you to think about a need right now. And I want you to say, Father, would you come and bless me?
Father, would you come and bless me?
And would you show me the answer to this need? In Jesus' name. Number two, the second part is, Oh Lord, enlarge my territory. You know, what does that look like? You know, for some of us, we're like, we got enough. You know, oh God, don't make my territory any bigger. I can't go anywhere else. I can't do anything else. So I don't want to go do this or whatever. And the Lord's saying, but I gave you a pioneer spirit. See, all of you have been born with that adventurous spirit, if Romans 8 is true. And so if you've got an adventurous spirit that's laying dormant for just a little while, you may want to lay hands on yourself and ask God to awaken. To awaken. Why? Because our borders need to be enlarged. That word territory there is from coast to coast. Whether you like it or not, I love our national anthem. I love that song, America, America. From sea to shining sea. It is beautiful. And you know, I think about that. When I get up in the morning, I think about, okay, Lord, enlarge my border today. And I live on the ocean. I live at the ocean, not on the waterway. I wish, you know, I probably should be praying about that. Maybe enlarge my territory. But I look out over the water every day. And I think about that song. From sea to shining sea and everything within, there's an opportunity for me somehow to love on somebody inside of that territory. Amen. And I pray this. Guys, if you're not blessed, it's probably because you're not praying or you're praying with the wrong motive. And I tell my kids this all the time and they go, Mom, do you think we're not praying? And I go, well, you know what? Let me just look at the fruit of your life.